want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. And the things that you guys have read from me or the things that you guys have heard from me are not just me spouting off stuff because I've been taught all the right things and I, you know, have been just in church culture my whole life. These things have come as I've literally been near death, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And when I say that Jesus rebuilds, I'm not just saying stuff that I've read in the Bible. I'm saying stuff that I have seen and that I am still fighting to believe even in some ways. So please hear that that is not some cheap platitude. That is something, if I feel like right now that word rebuild is what God is really like highlighting for me right now. If for everybody who's on here who is currently in whatever kind of pain, you know, you categorize them, whether it's betrayal from the church, getting fired from jobs, whether it's a recent divorce, whether it's the loss of a child, whether it's in a marriage that's just hurting, wherever we are right now, if there's one core truth that I would have and that I believe is from the Lord for us right now, that I would have you guys cling to when we walk away from this meeting, that core truth would be that Jesus rebuilds. So I did a whole training course about this. If you guys grabbed it, you know what I mean? But it was the Man Conqueror course. And in it, I talk about getting ourselves transformed by renewing our minds and by identifying lies. So when we're going through this crap, you guys, God has been putting on my heart the story, and I've talked about it over and over again. Maybe you've seen it. The story of the mighty warriors, the mighty men of David, and how the Bible lists these guys. I believe it's 2 Samuel and maybe 1 Chronicles. There's a couple of places where it lists the amazing things that these warriors have done, like taking out 300 men single-handedly, taking out 800 men single-handedly, like crazy things. But they all started when David was in hiding at the cave of Adullam. And the Bible says that they came to him. At the time, it was about 400 men who came to David, and it lists out three qualities that these men had, and none of them were good. They were all worthless qualities. They were in distress, they were in debt, and they were bitter of soul.
And that's the army that God brought to David and transformed them into the mightiest warriors this earth has.
So,
hey, David, I can hear some kind of preaching or something. Mama,
you don't need to take that tonight.
Sorry, what's that?
I know, but not at night.
Hey, David, would you mind? Would you be able to mute yourself for us there? Actually, I'm going to do it. There we go. So if we can walk away from this meeting tonight with one truth, no matter where we're coming from, it's that Jesus rebuilt. And he does it not just to get us back to ground zero. He rebuilds and changes us into something that we never knew we could ever be, so that we can actually become the kind of men who take down 800 enemies with one of us. And so I bet, just from my own experience, you guys, I bet that a lot of us here, we battle stuff up here constantly. And we think these thoughts like, man, I have screwed up majorly. Like, man, I can never be in another relationship. Like, I'm too far gone. Or like, I will never be able to forgive. Or God is never going to use me in ministry again. Or whatever it is. We get these thoughts up here. And I'm telling you, they feel real. And they feel true. And it doesn't feel like a lie, because we're looking around ourselves and we're saying, well, yeah, this is what the circumstances are. This is what I've done. This is who I've become. And what we have got to do is begin to change what's happening here, even before what's happening out here ever comes online. Because I will tell you, back in Genesis, in the garden, Satan came to Adam and Eve, and he said, hey, Adam, hey, Eve, did God really say XYZ? And so he's saying, hey, check out this thing that you see with your eyes. Check out this fruit. Man, it looks good. It says that Eve saw it looked good to eat. And he's saying, look at what your eyes tell you. And then, are you sure God said what he said? And I'm telling you guys, it's no different for where we are right now. Even if it's just something like, I'm struggling being assertive. I'm not that assertive of a man. I'm not much of a leader in my home. I want to challenge you to consider that that might be the voice of Satan telling you that. Because what we have to realize is that our reality is not shaped by our circumstances. Our reality is shaped by the word of God. So you take these places where you're struggling and you don't feel like you're man enough. You don't feel like you are Christian enough, like you are connected with Jesus enough. And you say, okay, God, in this place of screwing my life over, what do you say? And I could think of 1,000 verses right now. For example, that verse, is it Colossians, that says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old's gone and the new has come. And you say, well, I've been in Christ and I still screwed my life over. So that doesn't seem true. And I'm telling you, if you say it's not true, then you're siding with Satan. So our goal, our job, you guys, our battle. Okay, let me tell you from my own life here of like renewing my mind, okay? There's two fronts that I've done this with in particular. I mean, there's more, but these are the two that have been core for my life. One is with my health and one is with my marriage. So 6 or 7 years ago, I'm botching the dates. It might be 5. I don't think so. I was bedridden not able to get out of bed except to go to the bathroom. And even then, if it was the middle of the night, I had a jar next to my side of the bed that I would pee in because I did not want to struggle my way to the bathroom, which was right next door to my bedroom. My wife and I were living in my mom's house with a 2-year-old daughter that I couldn't hold. And I was like, seriously, my wife will tell you to this day, she has wondered several times if she was going to be a 20-something-year-old widow. And in that place, I was thinking to myself, like, everything that I've learned in church, in Christian culture about God doing miracles or healing or sickness, it's not cutting it. Because what I was told was that if something is a certain way and it's not changing, then it is therefore God's will, and he therefore has a better plan in store. And so what I was accidentally being taught was that my circumstances tell me God's voice more than his word does. So I went into his word, and I searched on Bible Gateway everything I could find about sickness and healing, everything. And what I found was that God says that he's a healer. And I said, you know what? If I'm going to believe, then I'm going to do it all the way. So my choice is not to believe but leave things out and make up my own theology. My choice is either to believe in him or not, or just walk away. And I wasn't ready to walk away. So I said, then God, I believe you're going to heal me, and I believe this sickness is illegal. So I started praying for people to be healed. And my body wasn't necessarily seeing any miracles. And it's still a battle. It's not like it was back then, but it is a major battle. But I started praying for people to be healed, and I saw it happen. Because I refused to accept what was in front of my eyes. With my marriage, around that same time, it was a little bit after I had started getting physically better, and it might have been a couple years after, where our marriage was hurting. I was feeling worthless, like a terrible husband, a terrible man. I felt like just I had screwed everything up. If my wife didn't like me, how could anybody else like me? How could I offer value to the world if I can't even lead my own family? And I began this habit of getting up every morning before the rest of my family. And the habit was pushed upon me because we got a dog and I had to take him out to go to the bathroom every morning before he burst. And so I would take him out, and it was good because I got up and moving, and I started to find the scriptures that combated what I was thinking. And where I felt like a worthless man, I would say, Jesus, I thank you that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but you've given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So where I feel all messed up in my head, God, I thank you that you've given me a sound mind. Where I feel like I'm weak and I'm being tossed around by my wife, I thank you that I'm powerful. And where I feel like I'm selfish and like I'm bitter and upset, God, I thank you that I'm full of love for her. And I would say, God, I thank you that I'm a good husband because you live inside of me. God, I thank you. Where I felt needy and like I couldn't be happy without her, I said, God, I thank you that I need nothing from her because in you I'm complete. Because your word says that in you I am full. Your word says that I've been given every spiritual blessing. And I would just declare these things as I walked my dog. And my battle, I realized, was not in my wife's presence. My battle was not in all of these readouts. My battle was what was going on up here day in and day out. And I realized I needed to go to war against that. And I needed to say, no matter what my life shows right now, I thank you, God, for the truth that you have said that is directly contradicting what my life is showing. And I tell you guys, it is not easy, but what happens in that place is that you start to see a more natural shift inside of you. For example, when my wife and I would fight, I saw that naturally I was starting to like not get so freaked out and worked up. I was naturally staying calmer. I was naturally not hurting as bad from it, which meant that I could actually operate in a place of strength. I could operate in a place of spirit-filledness instead of feeling like I wasn't a Christian whenever we fought. So when I say that I want for you guys to come away from our meeting with this one truth that Jesus rebuilds, that's what I mean. I mean, you go to war with one truth. And whenever our feeling, I've been doing this today. I've been doing this yesterday. I was realizing, man, Jesus, I've been walking around heavy. I've been walking around feeling timid. I've been walking around feeling apologetic, and that's not who I am. You made me to be bold and assertive. And so I've been like renewing that practice in my life just these last couple of days. Where I'm like, God, I thank you that I'm actually a confident man. I thank you that I'm actually bold. You say that I'm looking at a thing on my wall of a lion right now. I thank you that I'm actually, you say the righteous are bold as a lion. And we go to battle with the truth and we watch while the physical circumstances bow to the knee of to the feet of Jesus. So the place on my heart for us, you guys, I mean, I didn't know I was going to say all that. The place in my heart for us this evening, you guys, is from Philippians. It's Philippians chapter 3. And actually, you know what? I have it pulled up on Bible Gateway. I'm going to share my screen with you fellas just in case that's helpful for anybody. And this is Bible Gateway. I just got to find the part on the page here since it's not my actual Bible, but yeah. So this passage, God, we homeschool our girls and I have the honor of being in charge of Bible class for our girls this coming year. And I felt like God was saying, hey, let's do Philippians with them. And I'm like reading through it. I'm like, dang, Jesus, this is heavy. Paul's talking about being imprisoned and how it's actually good because the gospel is preached. And I feel like God's been saying, but Matt, I want your girls to be as on fire for me at this age as Paul was. I want for them to get a taste of me so that they could see you, Matt, get imprisoned and they would be okay. They would thrive in it. And I'm like, Jesus, that's a tall order, but here we go. So in this chapter, Paul is, he's saying in verse 7 right here, he's saying, whatever gain I had, I count as loss. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the worth of knowing Jesus. And for his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as absolute garbage, in order that I might gain Christ. And here's the problem with this verse, you guys. The problem is that...
Are you ready?
I'm gonna...
Oh, 10 minutes.
Mute somebody here. There we go. The problem is that when we see this verse, we tend to like think, okay, well, I just gotta have Jesus be the most important thing. I just gotta like buck up and be a good Christian all of a sudden. But how do we even get there? How do we get there? By the way, Haynes and Mark, I see your messages. Thanks for being here, fellas. You guys are awesome. How do we even get to be in that place where we can even say that honestly? Because to be honest, I would say most of us can't say that honestly. Like, no, it's not all garbage compared to knowing Jesus. That's why it hurts so bad. Because I care a lot about it. That's why there's so much pain. I care about these things. How can I be like Paul and say, you know what, this doesn't, like, it doesn't even matter compared to Jesus? That's what I'm wrestling with right now. God, how do I instill that in my girls? How do I live in this more? And he says, I want to become like him in his death, that by any means possible, I might attain the resurrection from the dead. It also says right before that in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. These are some good promises, that I may know the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And here's what I want to do. I want to get past this part and look right here. It says, I'm not already perfect, but I push on. I push on to take the resurrection power of Jesus and make it my own. And this is the one thing I do. Okay, guys, this is what I'm talking about when I say you got to go to battle. You got to take this truth of Jesus rebuilds and you got to go to war with it, because Paul says this one thing I do. If I can point to anything, at least in this context, in this scripture right here, if I could point to anything, this is what I'm telling you. This is the one thing I do. I forget what was behind me. I don't care how bad I've screwed up and how many people tell me I will never be in another relationship. I am forgetting what's behind me. And yeah, it's chasing me down. It's knocking at my door constantly. It's like a rabid dog that's over my shoulder all the time. But I will not give in to that thing. And when all those thoughts come raging at me, I will choose one more time to say, Jesus, this thing is so loud right now, but I am turning to you and I'm forgetting what's behind me. And I'm saying, Jesus, you rebuild. And I am new. And I am bold. So I forget what lies behind and I strain forward to what lies ahead. And I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, let those of us who are mature think this way. This is where we become mature, where we start to forget what lies behind. Guys, this is grace. It's not getting a free pass to live as we want and to, you know, say, well, it doesn't matter and I'm just going to do what I want. No, grace says, I don't have to live under what I've done. I don't have to live under what's been done to me. Because Jesus, you truly do matter more than any place in my heart that is in intense pain, that is in unforgiveness. And you matter, you are worth it even when my body is in utter pain. And so I'm going to find the strength to rise up out of the freaking ashes. And I'm going to stand one more time on your truth. See, we look at these places where we're beat up and broken, and we feel like, we, because of those places, we're not man enough. Because of those places, we don't have what it takes. We've proven that. But I actually believe it's those very places where we display that we are man enough. It's up to us what we're going to choose. It's up to us to choose who are we going to align ourselves with. Are we going to partner with Satan and say, yeah, you know what? I am done. I'm finished. I am not going to ever be a good husband for anybody.
I will never be a good dad. I will never do this. Yeah, I'm too far gone. Maybe I can settle. Maybe I can settle for a different, you know, a lower level of what Jesus might have for me. Maybe, you know, he can just get whatever he can out of me, but I'm not going to be his highest return investment. Are you kidding me? If anybody says that or thinks that way, that is Satan all the way. That says that his blood isn't powerful. That says that his resurrection isn't powerful. And Paul is saying, I'm going to do whatever the freak it takes to get his resurrection power. So again, the question is, how do we actually, like, how do we get to that point? How do we get to the point where we can honestly say, yeah, there is nothing compared to Jesus? Because to be honest, we can't say that and mean it just with the flip of a switch. So I've been asking the Lord about it, and I feel like he's been just saying, Matt, Paul got to this place because he, in the middle of everything else, he built a history with me. And, you know, there's other places in the New Testament where he says, I'm so thankful that I pray in tongues more than you all. You know, that's a tool he used, praying in tongues to edify his own spirit, to connect with the Holy Spirit. But he says he got away. Somewhere. Damascus? I don't know. He was somewhere for 14 years before he ever came back and started ministering. He got away to be with the Lord, and he built a history with Jesus by continuing to put himself over and over in the presence of God. And in that place, yeah, there might have been places of desperate praying, desperate crying. I mean, right before this, he says, I had all these things. And I even persecuted the church. Elsewhere, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. He has this whole history of life without Jesus. And he had to say, you know what? I'm writing a new history with you. So as we face these challenges, we get to continually, if we can't find victory, for example, my body not healed yet. If we can't seem to find the victory where the circumstance changes the way we want it to, we can still find the victory alone with God and say, even until this thing changes, I will strengthen myself in the Lord. I will be with you, Jesus, and I will let you change my mind. I will let you wash over me with your presence so that when I'm faced with the crap that's looking me square in the eye, I will be able to say with complete conviction, honesty, and authenticity, yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter because Jesus matters. And then we become unshakable. And when we become unshakable, that's when things start to heal. For those of us who are married, when we become unshakable and we can weather the storms of our wife's moods or of the arguments or of her not being what it is that we would like in the relationship, and we become unshakable and unoffendable because we are so anchored in Jesus.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.